Amen. I appreciate that fantastic singing. Thank you so much, church, pastor. Thank you again. I'll echo Brother Ballou, the room, the meals, the hospitality, the loving embrace. It sure is encouraging to come to a church and know that the church has been praying. You'll hear missionaries often say, what we need most are your prayers. And that's not wrong. That's really what we need most. And it, again, is extremely encouraging to come knowing that you've been praying. We ask that you'll continue. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Just a few short verses. Pastor, we stand. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Can we please stand? To read God's word, simply out of reverence to his word, we'll do so. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 18 through 21 says, "And all things are of God." Amen. We could preach right there. "Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." It keeps getting better and better. "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Thank you, Lord. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made us for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to stand in your house. How encouraging it is to be here, Lord. I pray now that we'll each receive exactly what you had in mind when these words were penned. Lord, start with myself. Father, I pray that I would fade away, Lord, that no one here would see me, but they would only see you high and lifted up. Father, we again love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much for doing that with me. This portion of scripture is one that could be titled the Ministry of Reconciliation, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, the practicality of ministry. God would often use Paul to connect duty with doctrine. We need both. Amen. Doctrine is good. It's good to come and sit in the church house and get fed and receive and learn and know. But what are we doing with that? We must apply that. Paul had enemies, believe it or not, and these Pharisaical men were accusing him of using ministry for his own personal gain. We know from Scripture, in fact, that it was those very same Pharisaical men that were doing that very thing. But in this text, Paul moves from explanation to application of the gospel. Paul gives us three specific acceptable motives for ministry. By the way, if you're saved today, you should be involved in ministry. Amen. Amen. If you're saved today, you should be involved in ministry of some sort. Three specific reasons, and we won't spend very much time because I don't have very much time on the first two, but we will specifically look at the third. The first is the fear of the Lord. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. It has been said that what is missing today from our churches is the fear of the Lord. That reverence. Specifically why I said let's stand for the scripture reading. Not that not standing is irreverent, but we see today in movements within our churches a level of irreverency, a lack of fear of the Lord. There were certain things that men of yesteryear would have never done within the church house or very much at all because they knew of the consequences. They feared God, a true fear, a true reverence for God. It can be said that that is missing from churches today. I thank God it's not missing from this church, but it is definitely missing from some churches. We see that with contemporary movements. And I don't mean tradition over doctrine, right? But what we see is in some of our churches, them moving to a more contemporary, a more non-traditional, a more, hey, how about this? A more, let's look more like the world so that the world will want to come into the church. That's wrong. Church, you know that, right? That's wrong. Because oftentimes what happens is when we conform our walls, when we conform the way we look to bring the world in, what tends to happen is the man that stands here begins to conform the word to the people that are sitting there. And that's the issue. Therein lies the problem with the contemporary movement. It's not the color of carpet. It's not whether or not the pastor wears a tie. It's not what color the walls are or what color even the lights are. The problem is that the word of God begins to be changed or lack thereof preached by the pastor or the preacher. So the fear of the Lord, that should be a motivation for us to be in the ministry. The love of Christ is the next reason why we should be involved in ministry. The phrase, the love of Christ, means his love for us as proven when he sacrificially went to the cross to die for each and every one of us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. The fact that he died for us, the fact that he was willing to sacrifice himself, to take upon himself those scars, those stripes, the fact that he was willing to hang on a cross, the fact that he was willing to be put into a tomb should be enough, child of God, to be motivated to serve in ministry. Listen, church, Christ died for you. If you're saved today, Christ died for you. If you're not saved today, Christ died for you. Christ died for you. What are you doing for him? I just want to encourage you a little bit. I want to challenge you. Brother Oliver shared just a little bit this morning of my testimony. I did grow up in a home that was broken with drug addict parents. I was not raised in church. Brother Blue, I don't have a godly heritage, a goodly heritage. But there was a bus ministry. There was a man that knocked on our door. Praise God. Amen. And I heard the gospel. And I got saved. And I spent most of my life not living for the Lord until I was 21 years old. So from 8 to 21, I didn't serve God. I never stopped believing in God. It just was what it was. I try not to regret those years. I try and look at it like this. Everything that I've been through is my testimony. I have a testimony that most of you don't. And I get to share that testimony. That's a gift of God. Hey, can I challenge you with this fact? You all have a gift from God. You've all been given a specific testimony. A testimony unlike mine, probably a testimony unlike the person sitting beside you. A testimony that was specifically given to you for you to share with someone that God specifically puts in your path. Guess what? You cannot do that if you're not opening your mouth. Amen? Amen. The third reason where we'll spend most of our time, and I am hurrying, the commission of Christ. Reconciliation, the act of reconciling parties at variance, renewal of friendship after disagreement or enmity. We were enemies with God, is what the Bible says. We could not reconcile that. Do you realize that? It was irreconcilable from us. There was only one way. And we read about the beginning of the story, the plan that God developed in Genesis 3:15. We see that God had a plan from the beginning. It wasn't an afterthought. Jesus was always the plan. He was always to come. He was always to die on the cross. That was always the plan. Imputing, charging to the account of, attributing, ascribing. Simply put, it means to put on one's account. When you go to the bank and you hand the teller your cash, she imputes it to your account. when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins, those, church, that you've already committed, and those that you might commit in the future, all of those were imputed to Jesus' account. But not only that, at the same time, his righteousness was imputed to us. Amen. Well, glory. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Hey, listen, church, this should motivate you to be involved in some sort of ministry. The fact that God would send Jesus to be the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world, should motivate you to a life of ministry. Do you remember when you first got saved? Hey, if you don't remember, would you please come speak to one of the pastors or myself or somebody? Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember what it was like, that excitement that you had, that have to, I have to go share this. I have to share this with everybody. Do you remember that feeling? Do you still have it today? See, at 8 years old, I took that feeling into a home with drug addict parents, and my parents said, no. I was snuffed out like the candle. And it's real easy to allow this world to snuff us out. Have you allowed the world to snuff you out? Or do you still have the zeal, the desire, the passion, like you did on day one of salvation, to go out and share the gospel with others? Do you realize, as a child of God, you are called to do so? It's not just the missionary's job. It's not just the pastor's job. Hey, it's not just the called preacher's job. It's not just the Sunday school driver, the Sunday school teacher's job. It's not just the bus driver's job. It is all of our job. We are all called to share the gospel. I love Brother Oliver's testimony. The track. It's so easy. Shove a few in your pocket. Pull one out. The Lord might let you tell them about Jesus. Hey, and there's no greater feeling outside of your own salvation than leading someone else to the Lord. You just have to be a willing servant, willing to serve in the ministry. Brother Larson mentioned it earlier. We have to have a daily burden for the lost. We must be motivated daily to go out and share with Christ others, not just by action either. All the martyrs died, not because of the way they were living, because of what was coming out of their mouth. It's important to live right in front of others. There are people watching you. But it's important that we're opening our mouths and we're sharing the gospel with others. As I'm finishing, here's the purpose of this message. The burden that God has given me. You have a title. The Bible says you have a title. And we all love titles. Don't act like you don't. I remember the first time that I got a birthday card in the mail when I was a young child that said, Mr. Alan Bradley. Oh, I loved it. And we worked hard to become a doctor or a CEO or a CFO. We love titles. And you've all been given one. We're all ambassadors for Christ. We're all ambassadors for Christ. My wife was saved in the first grade. Her public school teacher, mind you, at her public school in Henry County, my wife had questions that the textbooks didn't answer, but this book answered. And she had a godly teacher that took her in the hall rather than dismissing her and shared the gospel and led her down the Romans road and led her to Jesus. And my wife got saved. That woman was an ambassador for Christ before she was a teacher. I just challenge you, church. Realize this. You're all ambassadors. You're ambassadors before you're anything else. You're a child of God before you're anything else. I encourage you to use the testimony that God has given you. Share what great things the Lord hath done.